You're listening to the ministry of Potter's House Church Wandsworth, a Christian Pentecostal church based in South London, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our call is to reach the lost, make disciples, and plant churches. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.
We've been in a series speaking about this one passage of scripture, Isaiah 9:6, and we've been speaking about Jesus being born, but more than mistletoe, Christmas trees, gifts, turkey, what does it really mean when we see Jesus being born? And in this text, it kind of explains that. And over the last few weeks, we've dealt with a wonderful counselor that when we see Jesus in the manger, we know that God has sent us a wonderful counselor. God has sent someone who's going to counsel us through life. And we broke that down. Last week, we looked at a mighty God. Jesus is God. How many believe Jesus is God? We said that is the distinctive of what we are as Christians. And so this week, we want to go a little bit further in the text. Isaiah 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Let's pray. Father, we ask you once again to meet with us, glorify your name, magnify yourself. We feel your presence already in this place. We thank you. Father, we know, Lord, that every day we are grateful that you sent your son Jesus. But Father, we use this time just to specially emphasize, Lord, just all that it means that Christ was born so that we could have hope. And we thank you for this. And we give you all the praise and all the glory for this. In Jesus' name, the gospel people said, amen. And so we're going to deal with today, Everlasting Father. And I really believe that today's message, I'm hoping and praying that today's message will be very encouraging. I want this message to be an encouraging message, every message to be encouraging, but I want this to really help and lift some people here to understand God, how he approaches his, how he approaches us. I want to start by saying that what's in his name, you gotta understand is that when Jesus is born, he comes to bring us closer to the Father. And the Bible actually says that one of his titles is Everlasting Father. And he is bringing this truth to us. Now, we understand what a father is. Now, even in our culture today, we have to kind of define this because we're living in a culture where one of the problems of our culture is fatherlessness. And that is a problem in our culture. Many of us, we've grown up without a father. And so when God communicates that he's a father, we understand the father is where we've come from. How many know we all came from our earthly father? Whether we like him, don't like him, whether we know him or don't know him, how many know that's where we came from? We needed a father. If we're here, that means there was a father. Also, in the home, the father should be the leader. The father is the one leading the way. Now, that is something that we don't always see in our culture, but that is the position of father. And so when God says that, you know what, when I communicate with you, I am a father, he could have said, you know what, I am the source. This is where you've come from. I am here, you know, I'm going to lead you. And so, but God doesn't communicate in us relating to him that, you know what, I am your source. He doesn't come to us and say, hi, I am your source. He doesn't come and just say, listen, I am your dictator. He could say that. He dictates everything that happens. He could say, I am your source, I am your dictator. He doesn't actually relate to us like that. How God relates to us is like this. Look what he says. He says, I am a father. This is how God wants to relate to you. I am a father. And what it shows us is the first thing we got to get out of this is that God wants relationship, not religion. God wants relationship. He don't want religion. Look at someone say, he don't want your religion. And I say your religion because me and you are religious. I want to tell you that. Me and you, we sometimes we be like, I hate religion. I don't like religion. Me and you are religious. We love routine. We love to get into a place where once we start to do something, religion kind of makes you feel better than those that are not obeying that rule of your religion. And so that's why we love religion. It's a sense of self-promoting. But God doesn't want your religion. God wants relationship with you. That's what God made you for. He made you for relationship. He didn't make you just for rules. God made you for relationship. I've never yet met a parent that said, oh, I can't wait to have a child so that I can make it obey the rules. How many know that? We've never had that. When someone has a child, you know, we've got a newborn in the house today. Amen. Yeah, my wife is just standing there. And so it's Evra and Keisha. Look at that. She's in the house already. You know, the Bible says, be fruitful and multiply. And that's spiritual what they're doing there. Amen. Spiritual. Hallelujah. Praise God. I saw Martin. He went, amen. And he just amen. Praise God. There's some, who knows what's happening. Hey, praise God. Listen, this is God. God wants children. God wants us to be his children. The word father in the Hebrews is like Abba. And so I've got a slide here. Could we put that slide up? And so we're just going to get a little bit deep today, a little bit deep, and then we'll tell some jokes as well. But this is the Hebrew language. Modern Hebrew is underneath. You can see that. And what this is the word Abba. This is not the band Abba. This is not that, you know, 60s disco band. The word Abba means father. That's what it means. And so modern Hebrew comes from ancient Hebrew. It's like a pictograph language. This is where we get our alphabet from. This is the origins of it. Pictograph language, what it means is each letter was representative of a picture. So that's how language and that's how alphabet is started. And so unlike our language, which goes from, let's have a look, what's it goes from left to right, Hebrew language goes from right to left. And so, really, we're reading this side to that side. And so, this is the word father. So, when Hebrew sees this, it's the word father. But it's very interesting how this word is developed. Because if you look at the top, what you see is the first letter, which would be the Aleph, down at the bottom. But the first letter at the top, it's the sign of a bull. That's what it means. It's a sign of a bull. How many can kind of see that's a bull type of thing? So, that's where it would have developed from. The second letter is the belif, or however you say it, something like that, the beta, or don't test me on this, the pronunciation is the B, so you got Abba, and then the Aleph, and the beta, and all of that, and that's how it says, but the first one is the bull, and the second one represents a house, and so as you put them two together, you see the strength, because in Bible times, the bull was the strong thing, it's getting things done, and so the first letter means strength. The second letter means house. The strength of the house was the father. That's where the word father comes from. That's the father should be the strength of the house. We don't want no waste men. Amen. Not the weakness of the house. Or the disappearing, leaving the house. The abandonment of the house. And so we understand that when God says a father, God is communicating to us, listen, I want to be the strength of your house. I want to be the one that takes care of you. I'm not just coming to you and saying, listen, I'm the leader. I'm the source. God chooses a name to reveal himself so that you may know how to relate to him. See, when you meet people in business, you give them a business card. You give them, this is who I am. But God has not given us just his business card. God is introducing himself on a more personal level. God wants to get personal with you. Look at someone say he wants to get personal with you. God wants to get personal with you. If you've come into church today and you just want a formality God, a religious God, listen, God is like, no, I don't want that with you. God wants to get all up in your space. God wants to get in your space. I was going to say in your grill, but I don't know what that, it might have changed the meaning and I've just said something rude. And so God wants to get, that's what he wants. He wants to be your father. And I was thinking about this, that Jesus comes and he brings us to the Father. And so the three things I want to deal with today that a father should represent to us. Three things. The first thing is that a father is one who cares. How many know a father is one that cares? A father should care for his children. A good father cares for his children. Whenever I'm talking to fathers, I'm talking to fathers, and I can see them, and with their kids are running around now, and so we was in Kingston this morning, and Kwesi and Bolly were there, and he's running around, and all of these things, and because he's talking to people, one eye is watching, because listen, he don't want room to something to go wrong, because a father cares. Father cares. And so that shows us, listen, God is always watching you. God is always watching you. That's not like spy watching. You know, like people stalk watching. He's watching. What are you doing? That's how some people see God. Like, look what you're doing. You're having way too much fun there. Stop that. Let me just put that in the Bible. You shouldn't do that. Thou shalt not. That's it. So we've stopped that. That's not how God is watching you to take care of you. God wants to take care of you. That's the God that we serve. The Bible says in Luke 12:7, but every hair of your head are numbered. Do not fear, therefore, for you are more valued than many sparrows. We only want one head. Every hair on your head is numbered. That's amazing when you think that God has numbered every hair of your head, that God has had them numbered. He don't just know how many you have, each one is numbered. So that means 4,304 just fell out. God knows them. There's a few less, God has to count here. If you're taller than me, you've seen that. If you're shorter, you're ignorant of those things. You're getting a good perspective if you're shorter. If you're taller, if you've got the drone view, yeah. Pray for me. Because God has every hair of your head numbered. He cares for you. That means that he listens to you. When you care for someone, you listen to them. Can I tell you, every prayer you make, God hears. He's listening to every prayer you make. You know, the devil would lie to you and it'd be like, yeah, God don't really care for you. If you're talking to a parent and the kid comes up, you can see the parent's attention gets diverted. Because that's their child. Someone was telling me recently that, you know, one of their children fell over and they start crying. He says even in the monks of different children, they'd hear their children's voice. They knew that's my child's voice. But how did you hear that? To me, it's just a child, man. It's just a pygmy, just bawling. But listen, a parent, no, I understand that. God hears your voice. In the midst of prayers, how could God be interested in my insignificant little prayer about uni or about college or about this job, or when God is global and international affairs and salvation and heaven and hell? But this is who he is. He's your father. He's your father, and he is interested in these things, and he does listen to your prayers. His ear is attentive. He takes care of us. That means he's a provider. How many of fathers should be providers? That is very foreign in our culture sometimes. But fathers should be providers. And I want to tell you, God is your provider. If you've been saved any amount of time, you start to know God is a provider. I don't get everything I want, but I get more than I deserve. I want to tell you that. I've seen God being so faithful to me. I was talking to someone recently about all that God has blessed me with, and open doors, and for jobs and careers and things, all of those things. I remember being a young guy, and I didn't get saved till I was 22. And as I was growing up, I always thought it'd be nice if you had a father that would, you know, on the movies, you see a father that buys a car for his son. And maybe some of you experienced that. Praise God. But I didn't get that. I didn't get that. Like, you know, turn 18, here you go, son. Here's a card for you. No. 18, here's a card for you. Oh, at least there's something in there. Nothing in there. Hallelujah. But I saw, after getting saved, and I remember, you know, just seeing my life progress. And I really got the revelation, Courtney, you have got a heavenly father, and he did provide a car for you. You have a heavenly father, and he's provided a house for you. You have a heavenly father, and he's guided you to a beautiful wife, Nigerian queen. Listen, because our God is a father, and he will help you, and he will guide you, and he will show you to where you need to be. He's a provider. He has never let me down, church. I want to tell you that. He has never let me down. I've got myself into debt. He's got me out of debt. I've got myself into trouble. He's got me out of trouble. I've wanted things and I shouldn't have wanted, but he's still got me through it, because I want to tell you, he's a father. And fathers care for you. Second thing a father does is a father corrects you. See, this where it gets a little bit painful. Look at someone and say, this may hurt. But look back at them and say, but not that much. Not that much, not that much. Hebrews 12, verse 9, look what it says here. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and life? For they indeed for a few days chastised us. That means they give us some pie, give us some dealings. Seemed best to them. But he from our prophet, and it says, goes on, it says, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now, verse 11, look what it says. Now, no chastening, meaning no discipline, seems to be joyful. How many know we don't like to be disciplined? I mean, none of us, you know, if you've got discipline as a kid, I've had discipline as a kid. My mom knew to just deal with me. You had to, something had to be done at some point with me. But how many know it's not joyful? No one likes it to be disciplined. He says, this is not joyful at the present, but it's painful. Nevertheless, afterwards, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. And so, when you're young and you're corrected, you don't like it. But when you get older, you appreciate that you was corrected. If you're here and you've grown up and you've realized that, you know what, the reason why there's certain things in you that are good, you'll realize because at some point your parents had to say, no. No, you're not doing it. You can't do that. Some of you, because your parents didn't say no, you're struggling now because they didn't say no. And there are a whole heap of people in prison today because someone didn't say no when they were young. And so you wanted it, that you just took it. Well, if you go into a shop and you take something, the police are going to say no. You come in my house and try to take something, I'm going to say no. I mean, no, that's the way life is. At some point, you have to learn no. And so if you've experienced discipline, at the time, it doesn't feel joyful. But I want to tell you is, God's love is revealed in his correction. Because if you see little children want to put everything in their mouth. How many know that? That's how they discover everything. Now, not everything can go in your mouth. Sister Bola was telling us just today at Kingston, she was telling us that, you know, Reuben, the bed is here. And she says, the way her son would just walk off the bed would be like this. He would just be walking in bold. And he was catching, no, 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 no. And so she said she trained him to kind of slide off the bed. And he's mastered it now. So he's just sliding off the bed and then he's just chilling. He's just going around all chilling. Sometimes that's how we are. We're just going to step in. Some of you just want to step into a relationship. God's like, whoa, 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 whoa. That brother, man. No, 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 no. But he's good. Look, good looking, bastard. It looks good. I said, she looks good. And God's like, no, no. You need to, first of all, let's slide down this thing. Let's just watch them from a distance first. Let's just see. And I could go on and on and on. There's things that God has to say no. See, correction is saving you from you. Correction, that's what it is. It's saving you from you. A kid is going to put their finger into the plug socket. No, no, you have to save the child from the child. Correction, because God is our Father. He has to correct you. See, God will correct you through preaching, conviction. You know when you come to church and then you feel like, oh, Why is he talking about that? You ever felt that? I remember Adrian was telling us that when he came to church, he was vexed because when I was preaching, he was like, who told him my business? I mean, no, that's how we feel sometimes. I mean, when you feel convicted, you ever felt really convicted and you feel that everyone knows it's about you? And you try to play a lie. And you just go, you just want to get out of there. There's that weird laugh, man. Someone in your row is giving that weird laugh right now. It's conviction. Listen, sometimes we want to leave a church which brings us conviction. We want to find a church with no conviction. I listen to a lot of different ministries and kind of listen to stuff, read different books, discover leadership things. And I was listening to this guy preach for a while. And very good preacher, very good articulating things. And I really liked the way he communicated. I liked it. And I'd listened to lots of his sermons. And I remember saying to my wife, I said, you know what? Very good articulation of scripture and of stories, especially stories. Very good at stories and all of that thing. But what I said to my wife is, there's never any conviction. I never feel any conviction. I never feel like, you know, Courtney, man, you can go for Jesus. Come on, this things. Never any conviction. And I said to my wife, I don't want my preaching to just be like that. That is never any conviction. That God cannot warn me when I'm about to. Because listen, all of us, we have some things that we wanted to step off. All of us. And Pastor Jay was telling me about when he pioneered in Manchester, there was a girl that started coming to his church. And she said from a very young age, she noticed that her parents didn't correct her. And from a very young age, she realized they don't love me. Because when you love someone, you cannot see them destroy themselves. It will move you. See, God will correct us in life sometimes. You see, you're bad with money. If you're bad with money, God's going to keep messing up your finances till you learn to budget. You're going to have to learn to budget. You're like, oh, I want more money. God's like, no, I ain't going to give you no more money. Because if I give you more money, you're going to get into more debt. And so you know what? I'm going to have to teach you to budget with that. Some of you, I want a bigger job. God's like, you got a bad attitude. So I'm going to have to straighten out your attitude. That's why you keep getting the sack. Like, literally, they sacked you. We could pay you to stay in bed all day. You still get the sack. You still get the sack. You know why? Because God's like, that attitude ain't right. And so I've got to train the attitude out of you. I've got to humble you a bit. That you're willing to just, okay, listen, I realize. Because right now you've been blaming every job, binding and loosening every demon of employment. Everyone's laid hands on you, feet on you, everything on you. But God is really, what God is doing is disciplining you. Listen, there are some people, there are some men. You want a wife? God's like, no, you're not ready for no wife. If you get that wife, you're a killer. No, you're not ready. I'm going to discipline you. Listen, God has to discipline me. I'm not ready for no wife. Because I came in the church with this ghetto mindset. I didn't know how to speak to a wife or treat a woman. I didn't know how to respect a woman or, you know, relate to her. And so I thought, yeah, come on. I like you. You like me? All right, I'm feeling you. Let's talk. Can you cook? This is what I like. God's like, you're an idiot. You know what? And I had to go on a cycle. Date, break up, date, break up, date, break up, date. I'm seeing other guys just date. I remember Jamil. Pastor Jamil got saved 5 years after me. I think I was on like about the 100th person I've dated. He just dated, got engaged, got married. I was like, what? And I realized, you know what, Courtney? You're full of pride. You're full of pride. You're full of pride, man. You better humble yourself. And I had to come to God and say, you know, God, I don't know what I'm doing. I know the Bible. I may be able to preach a good sermon or do things, but I need to humble myself. Listen, having street smarts, I mean, you know how to dress and you know how things run, and you come into the church and you got the street smarts. In a marriage, that don't mean none. That doesn't mean nothing. Because you know to wear Adidas tracksuit with Adidas trainers. You see people, they got like some ASICS trainers and some random tracksuit. You're like, yeah, you don't know. Okay, you may know how to make things match, but that won't help you to make you and your spouse match. See, God sometimes has to train you. And what is God trying to train you on right now? What is God allowing you to go through? The Bible says that in the book of James, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces. You know what? More of us, we would benefit if we said, God, I don't just want to get out of this trial. I want to get something out of this trial. Because when you're in a trial, you need to ask God, what do I need to learn here? And the sooner you ask God, what are you trying to show me and teach me? The sooner God says, okay, you've already arrived. Let's take you out of it now. In your trials, let me give you some easy advice to remember. Don't get bitter, get better. You're in a trial right now. It ain't working for me. Stop getting bitter. Get better. Get better. Just say, look, I'm just going to get better. I remember reading something and it changed my whole way of thinking about life and how God deals with me. He said, tough times are like a brush. Either it will wear you down or polish you up. You choose. You're going through something tough right now? Either that thing is going to make you far more shinier and better, or it's going to wear you down. But you've got to choose. The Father cares for us. The Father corrects us. And I want to, the last thing I want to bring out is the Father carries us. Fathers carry children. I thought I would have one father, and Brother Carl right there, he's carrying his daughter. Because fathers carry children. Don't get boosted. Look, I thought I'd find someone else, man, because that would go to his head. That's what fathers do. Fathers carry their children. Look what it says in Deuteronomy 1 verse 31. And in the wilderness where you saw how the Lord your God carried you. He says, when the children of Israel was in the wilderness, God carried them. As a man carries his son in all the ways that you went until you came to this place. Fathers carry their children. God will carry you. God will uphold you. God will keep you, even in your wilderness time. You know what the wilderness speaks of? The dry seasons of life. The confusing seasons of life. The seasons of life that none of us want to go through, but all of us will go through. God is carrying you in that wilderness time, in that barren season, in that challenging moment. God says, listen, I will carry you. How many have ever read that, like a poem about the footsteps? None of you, okay. Yeah, two of you. Where there's two sets of footprints walking, and all of a sudden there's one set in the sand, and the person is asking, oh God, you was walking with me, but I noticed when I went through the hard part, you left me, because there was only one set of footprints. And God says, I didn't leave you, that's when I was carrying you. This is what I do. This is what God does. He carries. You know, you see children and they'll run past a parent and all they do is this. That's all they have to do, and a parent. Because parents, a father always wants to carry their child. You know, the way that God carries us is almost like a ship as well. You know, when you get on a ship, a cruise ship, you get on that ship and you may go on a Caribbean cruise, and you get on in England somewhere, and it will take you all the way to the Caribbean. It's taking you there, and it may take days. And while you're on it, you're going to and fro. You're doing things. You're brushing your teeth. You're having fun. You're going to maybe in the swimming pool, or you're going to bowling, or you're watching things. As you're doing that, you're doing a lot, but it's not carrying you. What you're doing is not carrying you. It's the ship that's carrying you. And that's how we are. Yeah, we've got to do some stuff. We've got to make things happen. We've got to go to college and to school and get the best grades and go to work and try to find someone to date and bring up our family and buy a house. And you're doing all of that. But I want to tell you, that's not carrying you. God is the one underneath carrying you. Don't think that you're the one doing it. It's God who's carrying you. See, because when you start to think you're the one doing it, you'll start to get stressed. You'll start to get depressed. You'll start to get frustrated. You'll start to get resentful about others because you think you're the one carrying you. You're not carrying you. Sometimes we think, oh, I got to make this happen. I got to make this thing happen. I'm the one getting me there. No, 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 no. See, I could be on a cruise ship, me and my wife. We could be on a cruise ship. We're going somewhere and I've put some nice clothes on. We're going to go and have breakfast and then do some stuff in the day. And as I go to breakfast, I order my breakfast. Can I have this and that? The waiter comes and he takes my order. And as he comes back, he spills the food all over me. I like what I had on today. You ever been like that? You just like what you had on? You found something that matches? You know, if you got to change that, you got to change that. Long. But you just got to do it. Okay, so that's a bad day. How many of us a bad day? Well, a bit of a bad day. I'm not that vain. But how many know it doesn't change me getting to the destination? The ship is still carrying me. See, some of you, when you have a bad day, you think you're not going to get there. You got to understand the Father is still carrying you. The Father's still carrying you. You may have a bad day. You may have spilt some stuff on yourself. Maybe you're involved in things that you like. Listen, I need to get out of this. I don't know how to get out of this. I don't know how to break this stronghold in my life. And I want to tell you, God is still carrying you. I've seen people carry their children. Fathers carry their children. The children puke on them. They didn't drop the... No, 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 no. You have him. Pastor, you take him. You're the pastor, you take him. No, 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 no. It's just part of... It's part and parcel. God is the same with us. God is not going to get rid of us. God is not going to put us down. Oh, no, no, you know, I'm done with you now. The Bible says, Isaiah 40:11, look what he says. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather his lambs with him and carry them in his bosom. That means close to his chest. And gently lead those who are with young. This is how he carries us. He doesn't just carry us. People say when I carry babies, it's a bit stiff. All right, you're all right. Because they're so fragile and gentle. I'm like, I like when they're running around. That's when I like them. They're running around now. Hey, what's going on? Yeah. But God doesn't carry you like that. You know, God carries you like this. Close to his chest. That's how he's carrying you. Right now, that's how God is carrying you. He loves you. Right now, that's how he's carrying you. You may think, no one cares for me. I want to tell you, there is one that cares. When Jesus came, we knew, listen, his name is Everlasting Father. See, when we're a child, we're carried by our parent. But how many know we grow up and our parent can't carry us anymore? And we enter into a different dynamic relationship. And the older you get, you know, I'm 45, the relationship I have with my mother now, it's a different relationship than when I was months old. And then eventually your parent gets old and you kind of take care of them. You know, the saying, once a man, twice a child. Everyone, it's just right now, you started as a child, you get strength and go back down again. Someone's got to take care of you. And then our natural fathers, they go into eternity. Sad as it is, it is the reality. And it's the natural reality. How many know if you're a father here? That's the way you want it to go. But I want to say this. Some of us, you know what we feel? We feel that, you know what? God carried me when I was a baby, but now I've kind of grown. I'm going to take things and do it my own way. I've got to make this happen now. I've got to make this work. And you know what's happening? You're crumbling under the strength, the weight of it. You're feeling the pressure of it. You're even wondering, does the Father love me? Is he close to me? Because you're actually feeling the weight of life. But in his name, we understand how we are to relate to him. He's not just called Father, he's called Everlasting Father. See, the relationship you have with God the Father will always be a father relationship. He's the Everlasting Father. You never grow out of this relationship. He never gets old. He will always be the one carrying you. He is always the one carrying you. It's always His grace. You always need His grace. You'll always need His grace. Listen, if you're here today and you've been saved 20 years, you still need His grace. You could be the best. You could be doing really well here. You could be high up in ministry, really fruitful. Can I tell you? You still need His grace. Everything good that comes out of my life is because God is carrying me. It's good to be texted. Pastor, thank you for that. Great for that. That's wonderful. But I tell you this inside, I'm like, God, you're carrying me. I don't get it twisted. Oh, yeah, that's for me. That's all. No, no, no. God, you are carrying me. But you could also be here and you're struggling right now. God is carrying you. It's not that God, oh, by now you should have been walking. No, 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 no. I'm still carrying you. And there are some people here, you are not right with God. You are not saved yet. God has carried you here. God has brought you here for a purpose today. God wants you to know Him as a Father today. God wants you to accept Him today. God wants to lift you up with His grace. So that you would know Him. One day, every single one of us are going to stand before the Father. Every single one of us, whether you're black or white, rich or poor, male or female, you are going to stand before the Father. When you die, you're going to close your eyes and no longer see natural light, and you will open your eyes and be in the presence of the Heavenly Father. There's going to come a point when God is going to say, either He knew you or He didn't know you. On that day, it won't matter how much money you made. It won't matter where you lived. It won't matter how you dressed. It won't matter. Some of you right now, you need to thank God it's not today because you're not right with Him. But today, you can make a decision right now. Right now, you can make a decision and say, you know what? I want to accept Jesus, that He becomes my Heavenly Father. Because on that day, will He say, I never knew you? You may be like, oh, no, no, I knew about God. I came to church. No. It's not what you knew. It's does He know you? Because fathers don't take other people's children home. They take their own children home. Are you one of His today? In Jesus, you can be. Without Jesus, you can't be. Jesus was the one that said, you know what, to some people, the devil is your father. Jesus said that. He rebuked some religious people. He said, the devil is your father. The Bible says, in Christ, we have been given the ability to become children of God. Today, let Jesus bring you to the Heavenly Father so that you can be saved. Give your life to Jesus. I want every head bowed, every eye closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed.
We hope you've been blessed, edified, and challenged by the sermon to reach the lost and make disciples. For more information on what we do and who we are, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.